Blog Talk Radio. And hello, everybody, again. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. And here we are. Man, I feel like I say this like a lot quicker than a year goes by, but we're headed toward the end of the year again. We're getting up into the holidays and everything like that. And I've been trying to focus a lot on some of the ideas spiritually that can help people face another year. And so last week I had my friend Tim come on board, and he's a property owner and manager. Grew up with him, longtime childhood friend. And Tim, I appreciate you doing this again. And just a little behind-the-scenes note, you absolutely had no notice, again, to do this. And I do that quite frequently. So thanks for being able to play
Karen.
Along. All right. Anyway, last week, you know, you and I, we were talking about networking. And one of the biggest problems from a physical perspective is that people don't have the discipline or the focus to follow through. Great ideas, great intent, but the discipline and focus to follow through is everything, because faith without works is dead. You can believe something all you want, but if you don't invest into something, it's a lot harder, longer, and sometimes does not have a conclusion as to what your goal may be in life. So this week I want to further that, because there's more out there than just the physical realm. We have the spiritual realm, and this is going to be a show about spiritual networking. Now, I know you know this about me, and I know this about you, Tim, is that we're not big holiday people. I mean, and another year's coming around, and people are like into resolutions and all this stuff, and I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Every day has its potential. And every day needs to be a point of focus, not just the end of a particular year or a quote-unquote New Year resolution. This has to be woven into your reasoning and your understanding about how life works and how it flows spiritually. So, I don't know, Tim. I hope that makes a little bit of sense. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, it does for me.
Well, and I know that, you know, we talk and, you know, the way we were talking about last week, just a quick recap of both of us growing up. We grew up just right outside of the Blue Ridge Mountain region in Roanoke, Virginia. It's very beautiful, but it's, you know, especially when we were growing up, it was a lot smaller in a lot of ways. And we come from homes that sometimes were just doing their best to keep their heads above water, you know, in every way, shape, and form, emotionally, spiritually, physically. I mean, it's just, it was hard, and there wasn't a lot of input for us as young people on how to go about a journey, per se, whether it's a journey of a career or a spiritual journey. It was almost like, well, you know, let's get you going, get you through there, and go get a good job and, you know, start your own family. And that was pretty much the concept of, you know, a lot of us, you know, growing up in that area from just, you know, regular families, of course. I don't know how regular either one of our families were, but you know, that's kind of the input that we got. And I mean, you would agree with that, right?
I would.
Yeah. Yeah. Really perfect. I think some families make the parents make better decisions and better judgment calls because they're just good at that, and they're so focused on taking it off of themselves and helping their kids do better. You know, and you've got good parents if you've had parents like that. Got to tell you, you've got good parents. And I tell that to kids all the time. A lot of times I'll speak at schools and stuff. And I let them know, I'm very happy if you've had great leadership roles coming out of your household and you've had parents that have had your best concern in mind, have done everything they can to make sure your life flows to the best of their ability. But I'm going to tell you, I wasn't like that. I wasn't like that. And I know that you weren't like that. And I think it's okay to say that. But anyway, the knowledge that we have now, Tim, I've learned through the School of Hard Knocks. I've had to take out pieces of my foundation in life and replace it with other pieces that I discovered worked better. And you did the same thing, and you made your climb into real estate, and God blessed you, and now you're doing really well. And you know, you've studied physically and had the discipline and focus to go forth with what your physical goals were. And I know it was later in life that God came knocking on your door and said, well, you know, that's great. You did good in this journey. Now it's time for a spiritual journey. And I think you can elaborate a little bit more on that.
Well, he broke the door down. He didn't just come knocking. He definitely made a life change for me. Of course, I needed it at the time. I wasn't happy. I was making a lot of money, was not happy. I wanted to change, and when you ask God for something, you better be prepared to get it, because it came pretty strong.
Yeah, and sometimes when you ask for change, you don't realize that change sometimes involves change with you. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about today on. So, Tim, I don't know if you can remember any of this. We went to the same school. We're from the same neighborhood. When I was coming of age, it was a real hard time. Everything was expensive. It was hard to not have money. It was a bad time to be poor. When I was growing up, I mean, there were no breaks in college and clothes. I mean, things were expensive at that time. We didn't have a lot of, you know, trading and made in China stuff back then. And so if the big thing was made in America, and things made in America are three times more expensive sometimes. And I'm not, you know, hammering made in America, don't get me wrong. But I am going to tell you, it was not a good time to be poor. And I was coming of age, so I thought that one day that I would be, one way that I would be able to invest in my own college journey was to compete in pageants as a young girl and try to win a scholarship through, like, beauty contests, beauty pageants, you know, Miss America, preliminaries, and that kind of thing. So I was 18, seven, from the time I was 17 until I was, like, 21, I competed in beauty pageants. And not only was it a bad time to be poor, Tim, but frankly, it was a bad time to be ethnic. If you wanted to do what I wanted to do, it was not a good time to be an ethnic girl in a beauty pageant in that history of our country, because everybody who was winning was turning out blonde-haired, blue-eyed American girls. That Made in America thing was about the all-American girl. And with my 14 nationalities and my dark ethnic looks, I did not have that all-American, Made in America look. Matter of fact, Tim, one of my critiques, you know, after the pageant's over, you can go back and get the judges' critiques. And I was allowed to call my judges to see how I could improve myself. And I had a judge actually tell me that I did not score well because I did not look American enough. Can you get away with that today, Tim? I don't think so.
Oh, well, right now you'd be the American dream come true, girl.
Right?
Well, I know. Blonde hair, blue eyes out.
Yeah, I was way ahead of my time, evidently, just at the wrong place at the wrong time. So I thought. Now, I was a finalist a couple of times, but I could never, ever win the crown. And my critiques would come back very heavily that you just do not look like Miss America. We're sorry. You just don't look like that. And so, you know, that was that really messed with me a lot. And here's the thing. I wasn't mad at the judges. I wasn't mad at the circumstances. I mean, I'm never going to be a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl. Never. I tried to dye my hair a lot lighter one time. It looked horrible. It's really bad. You know, I got a lot of Asian, Native American, and we're not good-looking blonde people. So, you know, I don't have any issues with that, because even at that time, I prayed a lot. I was a Christian girl. And I prayed that I would win because I needed the money. I needed scholarship money to go to school. You know, I believed in God. And every single time, Tim, I did not win. I did not win. After I prayed, I believed, I still didn't win. And after, like, the fourth pageant, I was getting a little upset with God, okay? I'm like, look, God, you said that I could have the desires of my heart. I live in righteousness. I'm a good girl. I believe in you. And I don't understand why I can't win. I remember that. I remember coming home and saying that. It was one of those Vinton Dogwood Festival things that I couldn't win. And you know what? Things got really quiet. And I could hear God even at that age. I was about 19 or so. I can remember God telling me one word. I kid you not. And that word was wait. That's all I got. Wait. I'm like, okay, God, but I'm done with this, so I don't know what I'm waiting for because I'm never going to do this again. And so I never did it again. I never competed. Until I became a member of a Native American tribe. And I happened to win the title of that tribe as a Native American beauty queen. And this was years and years and years later. I mean, wasn't even crossing my mind. But because I was representing a tribe, I was able to go into tribal areas and I was able to encourage the battered down, beaten down young people with my own life and my own testimony and let them know not only about how you can still have hope for the world, but for me, someone who's very spiritual, about how I've learned to lean on God. Now think about this, Tim. Here I am, 19, 20-year-old girl, and I hear the word wait. And I'm like, I don't know, wait, okay, sure, but I'm not competing anymore. I get this title years and years and years and years later to use it as a promotional tool to be able to help other Native American people. And I'm able to go in there and make a difference in their lives. Now, if I was 19 or 20 years old, I couldn't have pulled it off. First of all, I was so embarrassed about my background and my home life and my upbringing, I didn't want anybody to know about it. I didn't want anybody to know I came from a broken home and I was poor. I had to borrow another beauty queen's dress just to compete. I had nothing. I had to borrow jewelry, borrow shoes. I had to get sponsors. I didn't want anybody to know that. It was a big cover-up for me. I wanted it to be normal, teenager, and let everybody think everything was good. I couldn't have been of service to God like that. I wasn't even standing in my truth. I come back years and years later and say, listen, when I was your age, my life was horrible. I don't know how, but by the grace of God, I'm even alive after some of the things I've gone through. But I'm here to tell you that God is good and you can do anything you want to do. You know, it didn't dawn on me until I was actually in the middle of doing that. I heard God go, I told you to wait, didn't I? I'm like, man, when you say wait, God, you're not kidding. Hi, Tim, I know I'm talking a lot. Do you want to say anything?
Well, better you to be in the Beauty Queen pageant than me.
I know that.
Better shot.
I know that. And I wonder, you know, I mean, everybody's busy with their lives at that age, but I don't know how much, you know, you knew about what was going on in my life. And when I knew you and we were kids, I never knew what was going on in your household either. You get to a certain age and you really, you know, it's a sink or swim type situation. So it's a very vulnerable time in these young people's lives that, you know, you want to go in there and be able to help them and encourage them. I work with young people all the time, all the time. I even did an event. I just got back from an event at the local high school here where I was judging, you know, young people, teenagers, about how to do job interviews and you know, what if they're in a management position, how do they handle disgruntled employees and things like that. I'm always trying to input and help, but I couldn't have done that, Tim, when I was 19. So my point is there was a networking going on in my life, even though I couldn't understand why, as a good girl, someone who believed in Christ, I tried over and over, could never win a beauty pageant, why God would do that. And today I look back and I know it's because He wanted to use me at my best potential. And I did not have the potential as a 19-year-old teenager to stand in my truth and to say the things that I needed to do for the kingdom of God. Now, does that make sense?
It does. It does. It's happening for me right now. I couldn't have done the things I'm doing right now when I was 19. So, yes, it does make
sense.
What
would you have done if you were 19 and all of a sudden you found yourself with several pieces of property making all the money? What would you have done?
Oh, I wouldn't have done the right thing with the money, I can tell you that. I would have went out and partied it away and just squandered it.
Right?
The stuff that everybody does when you're young and you get your hands on money.
Right. Exactly. There is a timing going on, ladies and gentlemen. If you're on a spiritual journey, you just you have to trust that timing. If you're praying for things and it's like God's not answering your prayer, don't think that he's forgotten you. You have to understand that he's going to bring you to your fullest potential and whatever that may be before he's going to bring you out to do your job. Now, God doesn't wear a watch, and sometimes you're just going to have to wait and be patient. And sometimes he will mold you and hone you and cause you to go through certain things to get you pliable to what you're asking for. Sometimes you're going to go through things, but he can't put you in a situation that you're not prepared for. For those of you out there who train in martial arts, if you showed up as a white belt, I can't put you through a black belt class. You're not ready for it. You're going to get hurt. You're going to hurt somebody else. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to quit. These things have a networking behind them, and I'm so grateful. I look back at the times that I thought my life wasn't going right, and I realized it was part of a spiritual tapestry that was being woven or being weaved to get me to where I am for my full and complete purpose for the kingdom of God. So when you think I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm not getting my prayers answered and I don't know why, you got to remember something, ladies and gentlemen. You got to remember he is God and you are not. And there is a reason for that. And you need to be at peace with that. And you have to know that your prayers aren't bouncing off the ceiling. But there is a loving God who is close to you and sees these things, but he has to make it part of your journey where you are going to be your most complete to do what he needs you to do. See, I tell my kid this, Tim. You could have been born at another place at another time, 1500s, 1200s, 1800s. You could have been born a totally different era. But God brought you in at this place, at this very time, for you to be the most effective for his kingdom. And you look back at your ancestors, and you think all the love and all of the audacity and all of the bravery, and sometimes our ancestors who were in wars and things cheated death to get us where we are today. That is not by mistake that you are here. And you owe it to your ancestors to live up to what God called you to do. Because many of them sacrificed, I don't care what race, many of them sacrificed so that you would be right where you are today with you in mind. And if you go around and you waste one single day where you don't do some way your focus on your spiritual journey the way God had intended it for you to do, then you've wasted it. Your ancestors are not proud of you for that. Don't waste one day. Stay very focused and understanding that you know whom you believe and you know that he's got plans for you. Mm.
Well
what
said.
What can you say about that, my friend? Yeah? Yeah. It's easy. I'm not saying don't take a day off. Listen to me. It's easy. You get caught up into now the days are shorter. It's darker. I got to come home early. It's cold. I don't want to drive out in the traffic. It's the holidays. I don't want to deal with people. Don't focus on those things. You need to focus on your ancestors' sacrifice to get you where you are right now and God weaving a tapestry to make sure that you are on purpose with what you're supposed to do, and don't let one day go by. I don't care if it's just sitting around thinking, making notes, praying and thinking and meditating. Do not waste one day, friends. Every day is precious. Mm.
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 Well said.
All right, so here we go, Tim. We're getting ready to hit another year. You know, nobody knows what will happen. This the last 6 months of my life, I've had so much death in my life. It's really made me rethink and really stay on focus and on purpose for what I think are the most important things in life. Death has a way of doing that, because all of a sudden you realize that, you know, we are not invincible. We are going to have to meet our Creator someday. And everything that we do, ultimately, and the final goal comes to that arrival. So as we go through the holidays and another new year, stop focusing on yourself so much. Does that make sense? Stop focusing on yourself so much. What do I mean? Everybody's got problems, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody's got to worry about their marriage relationships. Everybody's got to worry about their kids being okay. Everybody's got to worry about their parents being healthy and not sick, getting sick, and old people dying. Everybody has the same things to worry about. Are we going to make enough money? Prices are going up. Are we going to be able to pull it off? You sit there and you focus on these things. It's a fallacy put by a physical realm to get you all focused on spiritual things. All that really matters is that you spend every day being on purpose with what God called you to do. That's all that matters. I tell my kid this. He's a senior going to graduate high school. Got a lot of dreams. Some of them are tough for him to do. Some of them aren't. I said, listen, in the long run, all that matters is that you've stayed focused on what God called you to do, and that you find a way to do that and let him guide you in your path. The school system will tell you it's about you. Every self-help book and New Age motivator will tell you it's about you. Tim, I'm going to take the other route and let everybody know that it's not about you. It's about what you can do for the kingdom of God. Am I right?
You're right.
Have you ever made it about you before? I have. I've made it about me. And what happened?
It never works out the way you think it's going to.
You get so caught up in yourself, right?
Well, when you finally get there, when you think you've arrived, you got everything that you want, you're still not happy. You don't feel satisfied. So you're always wanting more and more and more. Thinking about somebody else, and that seems to take that empty spot, that empty void.
Because we were ultimately created in the image of God, and God is love. We were designed to love people. We were designed to love people. How about this? How about we not waste one more second on people who aren't in our team and support us for who we are, who God chose us to be? I think that's a good move, to cut out the negativity, shut your ears down the negativity. All that matters is that you hear what God said you are, because you are who God says you are. And if anybody's going to be a deterrent to that, then shake the dust off of your feet and move on. Just move on. You don't need to have anybody be a stumbling block on your spiritual journey. I don't mean you need to be rude or do anything to hurt anybody. I'm just saying you don't need to absorb it. You don't need to spiritually absorb negativity. You can choose to cut that off. You can choose to turn that down, ladies and gentlemen. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your hand to the plow, as the Bible puts it. Stay very focused on why you're here and what you're really supposed to be doing. You say, well, I wish I could give up my job and go do what I want to do. You need to go do them both. That's right. No more excuses. I work 40 hours a week at a job I hate. Well, then take the next 10, 15 hours that week and do something that you do like to do that's going to help you make that move to what you're called to do. Yep, 2020, my friend, a no-excuse year. No excuse to let people sway you negatively, and no excuse for you not to make sure that you're going toward the goal of being on purpose for the kingdom of God. Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me. I can't wait for this year to get here. Got some good stuff coming.
Good stuff. How do you know? Because?
Well, I can tell you, the more I pray, the more things change for me. It seems like it's almost like magic.
Yeah.
It didn't happen like that when I was younger, but I didn't pray like I do when I'm old.
Yeah.
That makes a difference.
And we need to do a show on that. God is a God of order. There's a difference between praying and begging. You don't want to beg. Don't you know God loves you? He wants to give you good things. Unconditional love, ladies and gentlemen. But you need to constantly be in communication with him. You need to talk to him all the time. And you need to just stop and listen for him to talk to you back. These are the things that really matter on your spiritual journey when it comes to communication. Well, listen, I don't think I sounded too weird today. I don't know. Sometimes people think I'm a little strange. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, what's that thing on Sesame Street? One of these things belongs with the other. Can you tell me which one does not? I always seem to be one thing that doesn't belong.
What do you tell people when they pray for something for themselves and they don't get it? Like me, I pray for winning the lottery all the time, that I've never won the lottery. But yet, my life is better than it ever has been. It's like I hit it,
yeah.
But I didn't really actually win the lottery.
You will understand one day when you look back like I have with the beauty pageant thing and understand that God is moving on your behalf in the direction so that you can be the best that you can be for what he called you and designed you to be. And you have to trust that process. That's the bottom line. You have to trust the divine process of you not being forgotten. See, the enemy, the devil, he always tries to whisper in your ear that you're forgotten or you're not good enough. I know that because I work in a chaplaincy every week. I go in and visit people on their deathbed. Many of them don't feel worthy, don't think that they're worthy to have good things from God. And I got to tell you, if you feel that way, nobody's worthy. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God according to the Bible. We're not worthy. None of us are worthy, but because of his unconditional love and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we can have anything we ask or want or need. You go, well, I didn't get it. I needed something. I didn't get it. Well, here you are. I guess you were okay, huh? I guess you made it because you're right here and you're listening to me. You're not dead listening to me. Don't you know he will carry you, and he will continue to carry you, not because you're a superhuman being or perfect person or your Mother Teresa, as they say, but just because he loves you and you believe in him. That's all it takes. Tim, it's so easy. That's how easy it is. And they go and want to pay thousands of dollars to sweat their booty off in a sweat tent. You want to pay $3,000 to go to Arizona and do that, I'll do it for $2,999. Hit me up. I'm going to pitch a tent in my backyard. And you can do that. I'm Native American. Hey, you can do that right here in my backyard if that's what you need to do to find your spirit quest, your vision quest, whatever. Your quest is God loves you and he's got great things for you. All you have to do is believe. That's it. That's all you got to do is believe it. Well, listen, Tim, we're getting ready here to go into Thanksgiving, and my non-holiday friend, not too many people are like me. I'm looking forward to doing a chaplaincy on Thanksgiving. I understand. We have to still take time for people and our families and all, because who knows when one of them be called away, and I've had more than one this year be called away, but I'm not in any way being anti-family, don't get me wrong, but I really do think that instead of putting all your eggs in the basket of having a incredible, I think you just need to make sure people know that you are someone that is seeking spiritual things and encourage them to also seek that same spiritual journey and do what you can for the kingdom of God. So, hey, man, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Plus, I'm a vegetarian, Tim. You know that.
Yeah, I was thinking about how you're going to enjoy Thanksgiving when the turkey's right in front of you and you're a vegetarian.
It's tough. I've been doing this now for a long time, so.
Hey, I saw they got plant-based hamburgers. They got plant-based hamburgers now. I saw at Burger King or something.
And they're terrible.
Maybe they can get you a turkey like that.
No, I'd rather just give me the plate with the plant on it. Don't put it in a burger. For God's sake, it's nasty. Instead of a bean burger, just give me the bowl of beans, please. I mean, just try to stop making it nasty, because that stuff is, it's just like, ugh. I mean, really. In its natural form, it would be more edible. All right. Well, listen, we appreciate you guys. I got 4 books out. Google them, give them away for Christmas because that helps me, you know, helps me make money, Tim. You know?
Hey, I hear that.
Yeah, you know, you know, we appreciate y'all, and you can pray for us and as we go on and do things. I'm doing a lot of Native American tribal stuff, trying to go on and encourage these people and pray with them because they're having a real problem. Native American people are having real, real problems with domestic violence and murder and kidnapping and stuff. It's Google it. You'll see what I mean, especially the Native American women. Keep them in your prayers. And, you know, until we meet again, I wish you a great journey. Stay focused on what you're supposed to be focused on as we go into a very materialistic time of year, guys. Tim, appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much for being with me today.
You're more than welcome. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, you too. And we'll see you guys next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.